Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, it's the breakfast huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It's now time for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. And we are going to talk about vaccines. Of course, yesterday in the UK, they started the vaccine rollout. The first lady who got vaccinated, 91 years old, it was an early birthday present for her. The second person shares the name William Shakespeare, 81-year-old man.
It was a bit of a V-Day for the UK, yeah. So vaccine in the news this week as well, because come Thursday, the US FDA will have a meeting to decide if they want to approve the Pfizer vaccine. Yeah. And that could see it in play within 24 hours of approval. So that will be interesting to watch. And of course, this is one of the market-moving catalysts in the past few weeks. To get a bigger picture, I've got Heng Kun Hao. He is the head of markets strategy for UOB. Morning, Kun Hao. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm good. And morning, Singapore.
Hey, Kun Hao, so I'm just looking at your latest report that is forecasting what's to come in the coming year in 2021. And you've got three scenarios you're painting for vaccine progress. You've got one called the optimistic Bill Gates scenario, the conservative base case, and the zombie case. So walk us through the probability numbers behind these three cases and what they mean, of course.
So first up, not to make light of a very, painful crisis that's still happening. I mean, we just got news, of course, if you see the U.S. numbers, they jumped by nearly a quarter of a million, past few days. That's still, very painful out there in Europe and, of course, most and U.S. as well. Our view is this. You're starting to see a lot of news about vaccine progress and, of course, rolling out in the days and weeks ahead, and it's fast and furious. If you look at it, basically there's more than 50 different vaccines under the different clinical trials that are waiting to roll out. And as you say, in UK, they have started vaccination, and of course you got news yesterday that Indonesia, of course, has received its first shipment as well from China. So things are fast and furious. Now, specific to our scenarios, our base case is a 60% probability, and we basically see the first half for next year in terms of, vaccine rolling out and vaccination across the world. And then second half, the world economic activity, travel, retail, slowly returns back to normal as all the social distancing measures everywhere get unwinded and borders open. So that's a 60% chance. And we deliberately put a much more larger probability our optimistic case, which we label Bill Gates. That's a 25% probability, and that's because, Bill Gates, in his personification as the philanthropist, has been pushing COVID-19 vaccine very strongly in the past few months, and he's famously said that by February next year, vaccines will be readily available, the efficacy will be proven by February. And that's around the corner. We're just less than 2 months away from February, right? So if it turns out to be true, and things work out very well, efficient rollout, then by February, this will be over and things will go back to normal. Now, the frustrating part is we have a 15% probability of things going wrong still, which means it's still a reasonably high risk in that the efficacy of the vaccines are still not proven. And of course, we're going through a very painful winter season, in North Asia and US and Europe. It remains to be seen whether the vaccines will be able to control this latest, wave and bring it under control. So the difficult scenario, the pessimistic scenario of 15%, basically gives us a whole year of 2021 where we're still fighting through the COVID-19 crisis and that there's no return to normal travel across borders.
Yeah. So 25% for the Bill Gates scenario. And I think, fingers crossed, that we could get there. Of course, the joke is that Bill Gates knows a thing or two about viruses because he came up with Windows. Now, looking at what the market has been pricing in, right? How do you decide where to put your money? We've got the US and Europe in a bit of a funk when it comes to managing COVID-19. And then you've got China really roaring ahead in the economy. How do you allocate your money in the year 2021?
Yep. Now, if we put aside equity valuation, the discussion on that, if you look objectively about growth, now, because all the countries everywhere in the globe, whether it's Asia or Europe, US, we have picked up so much fiscal debt, you know, on a corporate level as well as on a sovereign level. The key to recovery, Nick says, you need strong, consistent growth. And this is where China shines. I would say I'll put my money in China because of all the major economies, China, you know, is viewed as one that will grow strongly and consistently next year and lead Asia and the world out of the crisis. And if you look at our three scenarios, whether it's, you know, base case, Bill Gates optimistic or pessimistic zombie case, all three scenarios have China registering the strongest growth across the world on top of US, on top of Europe. So you have to invest in a country that is able to go out of, you know, its fiscal and debt issues.
But I'm just mindful of the fact that, you know, we are seeing Wall Street numbers go up record highs every week or so, but then you also are getting headlines of China in disputes with the US when it comes to the tech proxy war. You've got the tensions of the Australian trade side as well. Isn't that going to be a dampener when it comes to markets?
Well, in a sense, I think after two over years of, you know, US-China trade war, you know, it's become business as usual for a lot of us, right? We've all learned to work around, you know, all the difficulties and you know, the hope is that, you know, if Biden doesn't escalate this further, this is status quo and it's, you know, priced into the economy. So I would look at this in a much more constructive tone in terms of the geopolitics. Yes.
Okay, so if I look at what's happening in the US side as well, we are expecting a weakening US dollar. How much of downside are we looking out for in 2021? You know, mindful of how investors going into US markets could see currency losses.
Yep. Now, this is the frustration because it is a very sexy thing to try to pick the low in the dollar, given that it's dropped so much over the past few months. But our forecast, as you say, is still for dollar weakness. We have 1.30 penned down for dollar sing somewhere by the middle of next year. So that's another 2-3% move. And this is basically driven by the fact that the Fed is still, Federal Reserve is still doing, you know, QE, massive amount of QEs like no tomorrow, and US money supply has jumped like 40%. I mean, this is literally your helicopter money. Your money supply in the US has jumped 40% compared to last year, and that's devaluing the US dollar. So so we can't get away from that big direction. The other thing is China is recovering, Asia exports are recovering very well. We got figures that China's exports jumped like 20% year on year in the latest month. And that means we can take a stronger, you know, Asian currency so-called setup, you know, because the economy and exports and trade are recovering.
And Kunhao, just to take a look at gold as well, how can we expect gold to behave in 2021? Can we expect it to become a safe haven, or will we expect a lower or weaker US dollar prompt more gold buying? So year to date, it's up nearly 22%. What's in store for 2021?
Yep. So we were hoping that gold will blast above 2000, you know, and stay up there. But unfortunately, it went up and it came back down. And there's this consolidation now of just above 1008. There's a lot of moving parts in gold. The key driver is, of course, central bank easing. That should push gold higher. And if you look at it, every other central bank is doing more QE, right? Bank of England, Bank of Japan, even Australian Central Bank, so on and so forth. So that should push gold back up higher. But the problem is, in the near term, a lot of cross currents, the ETF purchases have in fact went the other way. Investors probably reallocate out into equities, as you say, or even Bitcoins. The central bank purchases have not come in. Obviously, central banks are more concerned about COVID and fiscal issues, you know, and trying to right the country's economy. And of course, then you have all this frustration about the rising long-term bond yields and the reflation, as we say, of the COVID vaccines. And again, if you are very pessimistic, as in the Bill Gates scenario, you will be less positive about gold because you think the economy will really recover very fast come February next year. No. So these things are adding as headwind. Long story short, we think there'll be a slow climb back up to 2,000 by the middle of next year, second half, but obviously a big top to, let's say, 2,200, 2,300 per ounce will be a bit difficult from here on.
All right, we've been chatting with Heng Khun Hao, Head of Markets Strategy at UOB. Heng Khun Hao, let's chat back with you again sometime next year to see how your scenarios pan out.
Sure, Ryan. Take care.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.